right, here we go. Welcome back to Beyond the Label, everyone. Ruby here, joined as always by the ever genial Eric Marquette. You ready to dive in, mate?
Absolutely, always ready. We've covered a lot about tech at work lately, but today it's all about how these tools let people, well, have a voice in every sense, right?
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. Let's talk about some of the big guns in communication tech. Stuff like AAC apps. So that's augmentative and alternative communication for those playing at home. One of the big ones is Proloquo to Go. Basically, it's an app that, it gives people who can't speak a real-time way to communicate. And then there's like whole speech-generating devices, eye trackers, custom switches. It's wild how far it's come, honestly.
Yeah, and well, what's fascinating is how the standards for making these tools accessible keep evolving, right? I was reading an expert comment, don't recall who, apologies, but they basically said universal design needs to be baked in from the start. So every digital platform, every device ought to be usable by anyone. Not an afterthought. It's not just a tech upgrade, it's a mindset shift.
Totally. And can I just jump in with a story? Ages ago, I sat down with this young artist in Melbourne, Sophie Jameson. She's like the definition of someone who grabs tech and runs with it. Sophie uses a text-to-speech device to run art workshops, lead collectives, the lot. It's not about just ordering a coffee. She's creating whole communities, collaborating on installations. Her device isn't just a voice, it's the door to leadership roles. And honestly, you should have seen the energy in those workshops. It was contagious.
That's brilliant. And it's a real reminder, isn't it? For some, assistive tech isn't about making life a little easier. It's the difference between silence and being at the centre of things. Shaping spaces, setting agendas.
Exactly. And look, if you missed our last episode on workplace tech, we touched on how these accessibility features are crucial at work too. But honestly, it's about life, about sharing your stories, running a team, or just absolutely smashing your local trivia night, which, speaking of, is something we should circle back to in a bit.
That sets us up nicely for chatting about civic life, I reckon. Advocacy is obviously a massive theme on this podcast. So today, digital platforms totally shifting how self-advocacy and community campaigning happen, right?
Yeah, for sure. They're voting tools now that are actually accessible, like Easy Read Australia, public info in language that doesn't make your eyes glaze over. I almost wish they had one for tax returns, honestly. But these sites and campaign apps, they let people with intellectual disabilities have a real say in how things run, not just be told what's happening.
And groups aren't just using those platforms. Some of them are really taking things up a notch with real-time translation and, my favourite development, AI-powered captioning. I actually worked with a group called Votable in the UK. Brilliant folks. Saw firsthand how live captions let everyone get stuck in during online advocacy workshops. No awkward gaps, no getting left behind in the discussion. It's the sort of thing that, you know, levels the playing field a bit.
And it makes activism feel way less intimidating. We've talked before about how community isn't just about showing up in person, yeah? Sometimes it's about joining an online protest or adding your name to a policy change campaign. And now, with things like screen readers and alt text and all these tech add-ons, you can participate however works for you, whenever you want. That's a win in my book.
Definitely, and I think especially with what we discussed back in our episodes on advocacy and self-advocacy, those skills, they really take off when the tools are right. It's one thing to have a message, but entirely another to be able to broadcast it widely and have everyone actually hear you, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just all serious stuff either. There's a lot happening with social spaces, social media apps, community forums, even gaming platforms. Some of them are getting it right with built-in accessibility. Like Instagram now has alt text for images. Xbox has those adaptable controllers that I still, to this day, want to play around with myself.
Yeah, same here. The controller is genius. Makes you wonder why basic design didn't include multiple ways to play from the start. There's proper research now showing that virtual social environments, whether that's Discord chats, Animal Crossing villages, or online forums, actually help break down physical isolation. Especially for neurodiverse folks or anyone who finds face-to-face stuff stressful, right?
Oh, totally. And a lot of physical barriers just vanish. Like, I'll never forget this trivia night I joined. Sydney Gaming Club, proper legends. They ran audio cues, customizable settings, even color-coded buzzers. No one was left out. It seriously felt like the universe's most welcoming hug. And for some people, it was the only social event they'd been able to join properly in months. These little tech tweaks, they end up making big, big differences.
It's the difference between merely being present and actually belonging, isn't it? Which, by the way, reminds me of what we said in our early episode on creative expression. Community and confidence go hand in hand. Being able to join in, show who you are, it's everything.
Spot on. And like, not every app gets it right. So when you see it done well, you just want to shout it out. Or, you know, quiz everyone else on obscure Australian TV. But maybe that's just me.
All right, so to wrap things today, let's dream a little. Cutting-edge stuff like virtual reality and augmented reality, they're not just for gamers or tech nerds anymore. They're being used to build social spaces where people with disabilities can actually be present, interact, join events from anywhere. You want to go to an art show or even just a live gig without worrying about transport or stairs or, you know, whatever else. You can.
Yeah, and did you see those community-led digital literacy programs popping up? Love it. They start with basics, how to use a screen reader, join an online meetup, then move into more advanced stuff. It's all about not just having fancy gadgets, but knowing how to put them to good use. It's so people aren't just users, they're creators and leaders in these digital spaces.
And hackathons. I went to one last year. Tiny local thing, big impact. There was a team working on this open source communication tool for nonverbal participants in community meetings. The energy was really something, the sort of grassroots ingenuity you really hope to see more of.
Yeah, honestly, sometimes the best solutions come from those little grassroots moments. It's like the wider the digital net gets cast, the more chance there is for everyone to truly be involved, not just included on paper, but actively shaping things. And that's what gets me excited, a future where accessibility is the norm, not an afterthought. I'd say we can call that a wrap for today, yeah?
Yeah, I think that covers it. To everyone listening, keep exploring those tools, keep connecting, and remember, you can be the voice that builds the next big thing. Ruby, always a pleasure.
Right back at you, mate. Thanks all for tuning in to Beyond the Label. We'll be back soon to crack open more stories, advice, and a fresh look at what's possible. Take care, everyone. Catch you next time.
Bye for now.